because it is not really that easy to find someone who gets the like conversion aspect of making the content. So that's why sometimes it's almost better if you know how to use your iPhone and can watch a YouTube video on how to make an ad. It's almost better for or how to like put something together on an app on your phone. It's almost better for you to do it as a brand or an individual, just because you know your product, you know the things that convert, and then you can kind of get that and piece it together while you find that interim person to, you know, jump in or to send product to and have like kind of that constant, you know, carousel moving forward of incoming content.
Does high quality imagery work better than iPhone cameras and user generated content for ads? The answer is not black and white, and truly it just depends, but there are elements that are necessary for any ad or piece of content to make it converting and successful, regardless of the camera. And in today's episode, we will explore what those elements are to help create better content and ads for your brand. Welcome to How to Market Your D2C Brand, a show where we interview founders and marketers in the D2C space to learn about how they have grown their own brands and current best practices in marketing. This show is brought to you by Gudo Studios, a photo and video creation studio that works with consumer brands to make content that converts viewers into customers. I'm your host, Matthew Gattozzi. Today's guest is Kristen Jones. She's the director of marketing at Suitshop, as well as an editor of UGC content at The Quality Edit. Kristen and I became friends a few months back because we both love to talk about content. So I started this interview wanting to know more about what are some of the high performing ads for the suit shop.
I would consider myself more of like a traditional marketer, where I see a lot of people on Twitter and online and different things doing a lot of specifically conversion based ads that are just like throwing a broad net, and I have a little bit more detailed targeting funnel set up. So some of our best performing ads are probably, you know, at the top of funnel, getting really low clicks and landing page views, cost per clicks and landing page views that are driving a lot of that like initial traffic and discovery. And then I kind of drive them through the funnel and kind of explain a step by step of like what they can expect, whether it's getting to know our brand or getting to know the process, whatever those things may be. So some of the ads that are within those like ad sets that do the best are actually an ad that I made when I first started. It's still actually a little it's a little outdated at this point because I haven't had a chance to remake it from a user perspective. It was a TikTok, and it's like me with my phone just like recording my screen, like, if you're getting engaged, this is for you. And like, it's just so low production, like the most low production that you can get. But people, like, it still gets likes and comments all the time. People are going crazy over it. Like, it's what gets them into our funnel 90% of the time. That, you know, it's funny how easy that ad was, and it's still driving so much traffic for us. And then as we get deeper into the funnel, I have some more kind of user generated content from either people that I've interacted with on social and got them to make stuff for us, or if we've got some whitelisting ads that come from like an actual influencer's page that do really well in the middle of the funnel. And then we more recently started working with a creative agency that's here in Atlanta where I'm based. And we did some really informational ads recently. And I wouldn't, like, the production is really high quality, like it could be like a commercial, but it also has like this still like native kind of feel in the ads. So they tend to get really high, like 95% watch through rates by like over 75% of the people watching. And they do really well as well. So it's kind of a variety of basically like really low level, low production user generated content, and then like a little bit higher level production that's really, really informative.
Some of the best ads from Suitshop are made from iPhone cameras, as well as high-end cameras. The success of an ad is not always the quality of image, but the message and story. I wanted Kristen to break down why those ads perform so well for Suitshop.
I think it starts with a problem or a solution. So, you know, a lot of marketers and creators will say that the first like 3 to 5 seconds are the most crucial for capturing the attention. So if you're kind of, if you start with the problem or the solution and showing the product, that's like going to be the most crucial kind of time to do that. And, you know, the ad that I mentioned that's been doing really well kind of since the first week I started when we were still the groomsman suit and it's still performing for us as suit shop. I start with, it's engagement season. So if you're getting engaged, this is for you. And so that like initially people are like, ooh, I'm getting engaged, hopefully, you know, like, so they start listening. And then with the, one of the more like higher level production videos that we have, there's two that kind of come to mind that start with this. And there's one that's like, damn, we look good. Thankfully we went to a suit shop, and it's like kind of cheesy, but then it like rewinds and it says like, oh, it all started with XYZ. And it's this really fun video. It's got great music, great models. It was a great time, honestly, to be on set with them for that. And then, the other one is like a side-by-side of like one, like the same model. One suit is our suit. He's really trimmed. He looks great. And the other suit's like super big. It's like a rental or, you know, competitor. And it's like the other guys. So it's us versus the other guys. And then it's kind of giving these like key points. It's not a rental. No hassle. No one else wore it. Like that kind of stuff. So I think, again, just being fast moving and showing the problem or the solution is going to, in those first few seconds, is going to be like the deal breaker if the ad's performing really well or not. You know, sometimes it's just the fact that there's a real person that looks like your ideal customer that's in the video that might, get someone to stay. And then obviously if you make it look native, so if it's, you know, it looks almost like a real Instagram story, you're using Instagram's native text and GIFs, people kind of, if they're on their stories or they're scrolling and it blends in with their feed, they might not even notice it's an ad. And then they're like, oh man, here I am trapped watching the ad, but they're interested and they want to shop. So, those are kind of those top few things I think that really contribute to the watch throughs and whatnot.
Yeah. I think there's two really key points that I took from your answer. One is that, you know, you need to actually have content that's native to the platform. So create for the platform. So if you have an ad on TikTok, make it TikTok-like. If it's for Instagram, make it Instagram-like. And the second thing is just speaking to the problem, which is super important, right? You got to speak to where the customer is at, and you guys have done a really great job of that. Originally, you kind of talked about the rise of user-generated content and how the fact that like your first or your most performing ad, best performing ad is actually just like you like threw it together, like your phone. And I think that there is a big need for user-generated content, and there's definitely been a rise for that. And we've talked a lot about that ourselves. So how is user-generated content, how has it changed content creation in general for brands?
Yeah. So I recently had like, I wouldn't say recently, a few months ago when I was still doing like panels on Clubhouse and stuff, I got in there about this topic with another guy in the industry, and we were talking about how content creation is kind of like a pendulum. It kind of swings back and forth. Like I remember only a few years ago working with brands, and the high production type of ad was like the super important, crucial thing that people didn't have the money for. So they were taking pictures with their phone, they were making videos with their phone, and we weren't seeing them perform the way that they are performing now. So there's kind of been this shift of like, I need to find, instead of like spending money to find an agency to produce this stuff, I need to start doing these influencer campaigns or reaching out to creators or creator networks so then I can find people. So things have definitely shifted in that respect. I think when you look at content creation as a whole, there's still the like long form written content and things like that that still need to be present. But like I said, I think there's just been like a big shift towards finding these creators and people to make the videos. I made it for Suit Shop, and I make a lot of our ads still to this day. But I also make a lot of that user generated content for other brands because it is not really that easy to find someone who gets the like conversion aspect of making the content. So that's why sometimes it's almost better if you know how to use your iPhone and can watch a YouTube video on how to make an ad. It's almost better for or how to like put something together on an app on your phone. It's almost better for you to do it as a brand or an individual just because you know your product, you know the things that convert, and then you can kind of get that and piece it together while you find that interim person to, you know, jump in or to send product to and have like kind of that constant, you know, carousel moving forward of incoming content.
You did speak about understanding the conversion part of a user generated video, right? Because no matter, like, a good video is only going to convert if you understand what are my selling points. How do I actually convert a viewer into a customer? Nice camera, you know, iPhone camera, doesn't really matter. You really need to understand like how to convert people. So could you speak to that a little bit? Like when you're putting together a video for yourself, or even when you're working with a creative agency and you're planning out that video, what's that framework that you have to make sure, okay, I know that this video is going to convert?
I think the first thing is looking at the big picture of, you know, the kind of initial problem that your product solves, but you probably have a lot of other benefits or things that exist within your site that are going to be helpful either in the decision-making process or once they have the product, things like that. So for example, with Suit Shop, we have like multiple steps that you can kind of take to feel confident, because you're buying a suit online. That's kind of scary for most people. Like women, we're kind of used to shopping online at this point. I think men, for the most part, are too. But when it comes to like a suit where there's these very specific measurements and like, you know, you probably have only maybe bought one suit in your life or rented a suit, and now it's like the biggest, like, you know, most important suit that you're probably going to wear in your life. It's kind of scary. So the things that we have in place are like our fit finder. You can go online and put your measurements, like your shoe size, your height, your weight, and then like what your traditional like pant size. And if you have a jacket, you can say your like other jacket size. That's going to be super accurate, 85% accurate based off other people. So we can give you our predicted size. And then we also have like on demand support. If you need something, you can give us a call or text. Besides that, we have our free trial, our free swatches, all these things, offer free shipping, exchanges, returns, that really identifying what are those things for you. So if you have free shipping, exchanges, that's like a really big benefit to anybody who's shopping and they're unsure about something, especially if you have like a happiness guarantee. A few brands that I think about, obviously we kind of have that. We have a return policy, so you can return it. But some brands that don't like exclusively come out saying they have a return policy might have something a little bit better, or a different verbiage that's like happiness guarantee. So somebody like Feels, the CBD company, they have a happiness guarantee. You can buy like a flight of like different strength CBDs. And then if you don't like it, you can send it back. They have like that support. Another brand, Yumwoof, they sell dog food. They have the happiness guarantee. If your pup doesn't like it, you can send it back and try something else. Like there are all these brands that do that. And so if you have something like that, whether it is the free shipping, exchanges, support, you know, some brands, I think there's a t-shirt brand that'll send you like three different sizes that you can try on. If you identify those and then kind of list out, how can I show this in a video? That's like that first step for me. And again, like going back to one of our first questions of like identifying the problem. So starting with identifying the problem and like calling it out front and center, showing your product in that first 5 seconds, and then really breaking down those pain points that you're kind of solving throughout the decision-making process.
The changes of privacy in iOS in 2021 has affected many brands, and mostly those reliant on ads on Facebook. I wanted to know how Suit Shop has navigated these changes and if they've been affected by the changes at all.
For us, we have a moderate budget. We could choose to do that, but we have a very specific audience, like engaged people getting married, people going to weddings, friends of engaged people, things that Facebook does target for. And with these changes, those audiences may shrink, but we don't rely on Facebook for a majority of our traffic, which a lot of those times when you have those broad nets, that is the problem it's solving. It's like Facebook is kind of like could be that reliant channel for people. For us, it's not. 50% of our website traffic is organic, coming from search. So we have a lot of focus on, you know, our organic content and things like that. With that being said, with the iOS changes, I have candidly admitted that I could probably do better at like keeping up with what's going to be coming out next. But I like to, for us, like our very targeted funneled audiences work so well for us that it's not, to me, even now that things have changed, like I had this pulled up, like I still have purchases under $6 for over $200 average order value. So it's like, you know, for me, that's not, I, I just don't need to really make huge changes at this moment. And so I haven't kept up with it. And I think that it's a message, you know, we spoke about it, that you should be informed and you should know what's coming and be ready for that. But if it doesn't need to consume you and be the thing that you're thinking about all the time, because if it is, that kind of signals that Facebook is that reliant channel for you. And I think that means there are bigger problems, like figuring out how to get your SEO ranking up and how to find that organic, those organic visitors, and finding other ways to interact with people. We have ads on Pinterest, Google, Facebook. Some brands are doing a lot of stuff on Snapchat and TikTok. We're not there right now. I'm the only person on the marketing team, so it's hard to break into new channels when I'm managing all the other stuff. But for, you know, we have, again, a lot of our organic traffic is just coming from having a really strong like keyword strategy. And we've done keyword analysis on our competitors that, you know, we are significant. We have like a significantly stronger keyword strategy where they're reliant on like brand awareness and things like that, which probably stemmed from originally really focusing on Facebook ads. So there's like this balance that I think people need to be considering when looking at the iOS and like privacy changes. And like, just remember that if we've learned anything about data and privacy, it's that we're not guaranteed to these leads. Like there's no guarantee that we're going to always have access to these people in this targeting. And so if you're focusing anywhere, don't get so wrapped up in the iOS changes. Focus on how you can be found organically if, you know, in the next few years, cookies dissipate and we have no way to follow anyone anywhere. It's like, how can I be in front of them without that? So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I love that. What are you guys doing to actually drive that?
So like I said, we have a really strong like keyword blog strategy. I will say that we do have somewhat of like brand recognition at this point, but we'll talk about this hopefully in a few, like a little bit later, but we recently rebranded from the groomsman suit to suit shop. There's a lot of reasons, but the most prevalent one you can think of is like, not everyone we suit is a groomsman, but that initially really helped with like some quick SEO wins. People are searching for groomsman suit because they need to find one for their wedding. So like we had a lot of like naturally built organic growth there just from the naming being like very spot on for the industry and like who our audience was in the beginning. And so I think like there's that aspect of things, but like I said, the blog strategy for us is so strong. We have like hundreds of blogs, and some of them rank for thousands of keywords. So I think, you know, some brands that may not have the money to invest in like an SEO agency to really do like a content gap analysis or to see like where your strongest keywords are, is really just trying to like think, you know, who are my competitors, looking at what they're writing about and considering those things and considering what does your, there's a few things to talk about here. Like what does your product description, your PDPs, what do those look like? What keywords do you have there? Are they cohesive keywords that people are actually searching for? You can use Google to find like keyword search volume. So you can go look those things up for yourself. You can kind of see what the trends are. You can figure those things out, and there are free resources to do so if you don't have an SEO agency like we do to like pull those things out for us. We didn't always have it. So that's kind of my co-founder, Diana Gans. She is like obsessed with like looking at SEM Rush and like how we're performing against competitors and like what keywords are ranking, and making sure that we have blogs that are going out almost weekly that are mentioning these strong keywords. Like for example, for us, like modern versus slim fit is like a very highly searched term in like the suiting industry and like or menswear in general. And I recently rewrote our entire like Suitology blog post on, you know, what that means, so that it had like really strong keywords in there so that it'll rank higher against one of our competitors. So looking at things like that, like what are your competitors posting? How can you kind of do a better job at posting the same thing to rank higher than them on like those search results? Looking at your product description pages and your collection description pages, and making, this is key, making sure that your own pages are not competing against each other. So how can you say the same thing different ways without competing with your other pages. That's a little complicated, but you know, making sure that kind of each page can rank on its own. So then you're casting that broad net and being able to rank highly on multiple pages on your site versus really being reliant on like one product page or one blog post. Those are kind of the things that immediately come to mind for me. Yeah. And like I said, if you need like a free resource, just like Google has them, you can go to the Google Analytics course and figure out how to use it. And it's all free. So those are the things that I would say focusing on first, if you're trying to like not be so reliant on Facebook.
As Kristen mentioned, Suitshop went through a rebrand recently, and I wanted to know the process from beginning to end on how they were able to successfully rebrand.
Okay, so to preface this answer, I joined after the decision had been made. So I was not somebody who was like, we need to rebrand, just so that I preface with that. To give like a little bit of background, the Groomsman Suit initially was co-founded by Gene Foley and Diana Gans back five and a half years ago now. It was in, I think, March, 5 years ago, maybe April, sorry. I'm not a bad representative, I swear. But they had originally kind of just started making suits. Jean, she's actually a technical fashion designer, and she worked with some huge fashion brands. So she has the background to design something that can fit multiple body types with like some general sizing. So that was kind of like her shoe in. And then Diana is like this amazing businesswoman, has a master's degree that's like just really great and analytical. So they have been best friends since third grade. They co-founded the company out of their New York City apartment after Jean had like a terrible experience with Men's Warehouse rentals. So her photos, like we have real photos of her wedding where like guys probably have like this much slack on their pants from where they had to rent something and then they couldn't get it like fitted to them, you know? So then she realized that like it was such a pain in the butt. So she made it a thing. She was like, Diana, let's do this. They were in a good place. They decided to go for it. It started in their New York City apartment. I think I mentioned that. And they kind of just had like a few colors, few sizes, and that was what they were doing. And they had their like address listed on as their business address, and people were showing up to like get fitted. They didn't really understand. I'm kind of going back this far because it kind of paints a better picture of like where this is all going. Like we listen to everything our customers say. It is so important. But anyway, so they started realizing they needed a showroom. So a few years later, they launched the Chicago showroom the night before Diana's wedding. So she like jokes in like a YouTube video that's posted from that launch of like, you guys are all at our rehearsal dinner. Yeah, it's so funny. But they launched the Chicago showroom, and then Diana Gans. She does. She's awesome. But she was, you know, they did this launch, and then right around all this time, like they always kind of had this like underlying need, like women needed to be suited. Like women were coming to them and wearing like men's suits and like asking us, are we going to ever make women's suits? And so again, we're in this like very lucky position where we have this like wonderful, amazing co-founder that's a technical fashion designer who can do that. So she spent like, I think 2 years developing our women's like suiting design of like what it was going to be like. And so we launched women's suiting, I think in 2020, like the beginning of 2020, it launched officially. I might be saying that wrong, sorry. We launched that, and it was just like an amazing, you know, response that they got. It's complimentary to our men's suiting. So if you have a groom's woman, or honestly, there's so many different scenarios. Like we have like grooms people that like go for the more androgynous look and may not be like gender conforming and like want to have this like look that's special to them. And we literally have something for everybody. And we're suiting, you know, we have a lot of LGBTQIA like couples that come to us to get suited or like to suit their wedding party. And the groomsman suit is just like not reflective of who those couple, like the couples that we really suit are. It's only reflective of the very like traditional like wedding party where the groom has groomsmen and the brides have bridesmaids, and that's it. There's no like question, like that's it. So that's where the initial change for Suitshop came from. And sorry, that was so long-winded, but I wanted to give that clear picture. And the things that we had to do that, like this was like a really hard decision because it has the potential to be brand suicide. you switch your name, everything that you've built for the last like 5 years under one brand is going to now like kind of just disappear unless you do some very specific backend work. So we hired an SEO agency. I'm happy to shout them out, 3Q Digital. They're great. They helped with our CTO and our other technical leads that like made sure that every page was rerouted properly, that we had everything built so that like basically that our search wouldn't crash when people were searching for the groomsmen suit and getting the groomsmen suit. How are they getting to suit shop? Shopify, I think their new changes help a lot with this, but like basically the redirect system for Shopify, when you're leaving from Shopify to a new front end, but hosting on the back end of Shopify, was we found the night before our launch, we had been prepping our audiences, like sending emails, doing all these things. My CTO found this like flaw where it was like not going to reroute properly. And we had to push it back 2 weeks to like reconfigure everything. It was insane. So that was like, I would say the biggest thing for our brand was making sure that the SEO wasn't going to tank. Again, I mentioned it's like 50% of our organic traffic. So we really rely on that, generally speaking. Then there's obviously the stuff that I mentioned. When I first came in, the first thing I did for TGS was making sure we had all of these like very personalized flows. Our ads were very funneled, like, you know, working with the page search, all this stuff. So once we knew what the official way we were going to write the name, instead of it being like two words, suit shop, it's one word. It's not the suit shop, it's just suit shop. So, you know, once we like figured out like how we were going to write it and all this stuff, it went, we had to go through every single email, pretty much redesign it. Our branding, like the colors and font, changed like this much. So I was literally going through with like a hex code that was like two off, where you could barely see the different shade of gray, like trying to figure out like, did I already change this hex code? I don't know if I changed this hex code. Like readapting all of the like branding and the emails, like SMS, all of that stuff. And then same thing with like our Instagram handle name. Anyone who's ever switched their Instagram handle knows it goes into like a lock for like 2 weeks once you change your Instagram name in case you want to change it back. And we wanted to make sure that we didn't change it before we were actually switched over to Suit Shop. So we had to like throw it up in the air and like immediately take Suit Shop official. That like we didn't have a lot of options because there's so many people on Instagram that had Suit Shop. So like narrowing that down was like another like scary moment where we were scared someone was going to like pick it up if they heard wind that we were going to be Suit Shop. So that we had to switch and like make sure we have all those links updated throughout the site and like on our in our emails and whatnot. So there was like a lot of these like little things that played a tribute to it. And then, you know, the announcement part of things is fun. Like we had emails leading up, like something big is coming, stay tuned. What do you think it is? I converted a lot of our email subscribers into SMS during this time, encouraging them to like send their guests to SMS, like text us and send your guests what you think it's going to be. And then once we said, hey, it's going to be a new name, what do you think the new name is going to be? We actually like got to see what people thought it would be. I think like two people were right. Like, you know, the guest. But that was really fun. And then the last thing that I think was like really fun is like the guy that we actually worked with as the creative director at that agency that made the creative for us for our ads just recently. They're called 4Media Marketing. They're here in Atlanta. Their creative director is one of my personal friends. So I reached out to him and we made this like cohesive 9 block, which I usually hate because like once you post something, it messes it all up. But it told this like very important story of who we were, what we were becoming and where we were going. And it was like for the response we got from everybody just like really secured the fact that we were making the right decision. And we have not felt any like kickback from it. Like there's been like a moment where like SEO maybe stalled for a second or sales dropped a little, but then they shot back up and we had our biggest month ever, like 2 months after launching. So it's like, it was a really hard decision. There's still things that we want to change. Like we get a lot of, not a lot of, but we've had people like mention that we still have gendered language on our site, but I don't think people realize, you know, unfortunately, like how much gendered language really matters on a website when people are searching for something very specific. So, you know, working with the right people to figure out like how can we have both, and making sure that we're sticking to those things that, you know, we claim to be the reason we rebranded, and making sure that we're delivering on that. Those are things that like are kind of ongoing for us as we navigate these changes. So again, I know I'm so long-winded, but that's the story of like the Grooms and Suit to Suit Shop and like how we did it and like where we're at now.
No, that's amazing. But, because my last question to you was going to be, what are some things to watch out for? But you really just broke down exactly what you guys did step by step. So that was awesome. But let's finish off this interview with some quick fire questions. The first one is, what is one tech company in the e-commerce space that you've been a fan of lately? It could be somebody that you're, you know, partnering up with at Suit Shop.
Yeah. So I think like naturally, I love talking about like the SMS platforms. We've been using PostScript. I love them. I have nothing bad to say about them, but we're switching to Attentive and I love their more custom features. I think that's an easy like cop out answer for me, but more recently I saw something launching that I haven't gotten to try. And it's something I would like to eventually get to try, but it's about budget. There's Octane AI. They launched their conversational pop-up that kind of helps you, you know, solve those problems like as they're looking. So then you're like kind of already getting people to convert a little bit better. I loved that when they launched that a couple weeks ago. And then there's another company that, and I wish I knew their name so I could share it with y'all, but it's just not coming to me at the top of my head. I'm gonna see if I can find it while I talk about it. But they basically help with like, we do virtual appointments. Oh, it's called Plaza, P-L-A-Z-A. We do virtual appointments. So they make it a little bit easier to have that virtual appointment and have like your catalog pulled in with the virtual appointment, your Shopify dashboard in with the appointment. So as you're helping somebody, you can kind of like place their order and help them as if they were in person with you at the showroom. So those are the two that I've been kind of watching that aren't like SMS and retention based.
I love it. So what is a DC brand that you think is awesome that's not Suit Shop?
This is like such a hard question. I work with so many D2C brands. If we're looking at like a product-based D2C brand, I think someone who's doing great ads like out of the gate has, I think, is just killing it. And like you've probably actually never heard of them unless you're friends with the founders on Twitter or like have friends that have tried it. It's a brand new brand called Zesty, Z-E-S-T-I. They create like sauces and spices, and they sent me stuff to make some content for them. And that's kind of how I originally found it. But I get their emails, I get their SMS, their ads, like they're just so on top of it. They're branding out of the gate, like the box I got my sauces in. I was like, wow, like brands that have been in business for years don't have the content and the stuff that they're putting out that they have. So they're somebody I'm really impressed with. But I want to also shout out for the whole UGC and like brand, D2C brand, like ecosystem, the Quality Edit. If you haven't heard of them, they do reviews on like D2C brands. If you need something, whether it's around sex, back to school, like literally anything that you can think of, they have like, there's a bunch of us in a Slack channel that are like constantly researching and reviewing these products so that we can kind of bring the D2C products to people. And I work on the content creation side for a lot of these brands. So it's so cool to see. And it's honestly even great for inspo. If you don't want them to review your product, you can go look at them and get followed around by the retargeting that they're doing for some of these brands. And you'll probably see a lot of me and like, you'll get to see a lot of that UGC that converts and like what we're doing, because we're making UGC all day there. So I mean, I'm working all day at Suit Shop, but like, you know, they're putting out UGC all day. So definitely worth checking out for everything, all intents and purposes of what we've talked about during today's conversation as well.
I finish off this podcast with a segment called Open Mic. This is a chance for my guests to share whatever they want to share. A lot of times I feel like people get stuck behind the industry they are in, but we are all human and we have other interests outside of that. So this is a space for my guests to say whatever they want to say.
I think that a lot of people are limited by their belief in like what they think that they can accomplish or what they have resources or access to. But a lot of us, you know, if you work hard enough to like, I'm not saying everybody, I know that there are like things that separate people, but like if you have access to internet, if you can find internet, if you can, if you're listening to this, you probably have internet. So it's like, if you have that, there are so many resources online that can take you to the next level, whether it's networking with people like we have on Twitter or Clubhouse, if it's reaching out to someone on Instagram, like whatever those things are, if it's watching Skillshares or Masterclass or whatever the case may be, free YouTube. Like if you don't have money, like there are resources to find the answers to your questions and to build your knowledge so that you can be doing these things on your own without having to pay people. And then maybe even switch it to a place where people are paying you to do it. I mean, that's how I got it. I was watching masterclasses and Skillshares, and then somebody was like, hey, you're really nice, can you help me with this? And then it became my reputation because I delivered and I served. So, and I used those practices and developed them. So use your resources if you have them and just keep building your knowledge. And you can either be doing this or for free so you don't have to go pay people, or you could be doing it to make yourself money. I mean, that's kind of the advice that I have there.
This conversation with Kristen helped me see the power of user-generated content if planned well. I also learned how a brand can use blogs and SEO to their advantage. You can follow Kristen on Twitter at KristenXJones. We will also put more information about Suit Shop and the quality edit linked in the show notes. Thank you, Kristen, for being on this show. If you like this show, please drop a rating on Apple Podcasts or your podcast listening app. And if you really love this show, please share it with a friend. It means the world to us. Thank you in advance.